Good evening, everyone. We are officially in record mode, also periscoping tonight on Periscope, coming at you live from beautiful Stockton, California, in the San Joaquin Valley. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements and then move into the inspiration portion of tonight's call. Got a little glare going on in the background. That is the background lights. If you'll give me just a second, I will turn those down and we'll be right back. Live from beautiful Stockton, California. Good evening, good evening. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements. We'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I have a fabulous call for you on commitment. So for those of you who are not committed, this is definitely a call to be and stay committed. So welcome, welcome, welcome. This Saturday, I will be on my annual trip to Buffalo, New York. Once a year, I go to beautiful Buffalo, New York, to support many of my Canadian clients from the Toronto-Niagara area and anyone in the upstate region of New York there. So I'll be in Buffalo from 9 until 3 this Saturday. That is what a flight. I oftentimes get to fly right over the falls. What a beautiful place to be. Next Saturday, I will be in Newark, New Jersey for the Millionaire Blueprint event with Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, and Mark Victor Hansen. Now, we still have tickets available. The premium tickets sold out several weeks ago, but there are still plenty of tickets, and it's not going to be an absolutely sold-out, packed-to-the-wall event. We have sold around 600 tickets, so there's still plenty of room for an absolute great event for you. I will also be bringing the exceptional Dr. Joe Dispenza to New Jersey, March 19th, 2016. And Alon and Amir and I are also in negotiation with Grant Cardone and or Gary Vaynerchuk for an event we will be hosting somewhere in Philadelphia, New Jersey, or somewhere in that area in 2016. That presently will be a one-day event, potentially a two-day event that we're in the process of putting together. Sherry Homayoun, welcome to the call this evening. So for those of you on tonight's call, I want to welcome you. I also have several other events wrapping up the end of the year. By the end of the year, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut on November 21st. I will be in Long Island, New York on December 5th with Joy Schoenholtz and Kelly Bartoletti. Breakthroughs to Success, which is unequivocally sold out on the 10th, 11th, and 12th, is in December. And the last event of the year will be December 19th in Marina Del Rey, beautiful Marina Del Rey. That is very close to LAX, with Tara Romano and Brittany Cara. So that will be the All She Wrote event, the end of the era for 2015. 2016, I will open the year on December 13th in Dallas, Texas. Now, tickets are available for the Millionaire Blueprint with Alexis Romano, Susan Sly, and myself. That is a Wednesday event from 12 until 4. So I'm right now in the process of filling up the 2016 first two quarter schedule for more Hearts and Talent events. Look forward to connecting with you through the end of this year on into early next year. 2015 has been an exceptional year for many of you. I know that you've rank advanced, broken through, aligned yourself with people in your circle of influence that have definitely empowered you. Many of you are starting to achieve 4- and 5-figure monthly income. Some of you are achieving 6 figures a year, and some of you are breaking through to millionaire status. Congratulations. But you definitely want to finish strong for 2015, because 2016 will be unequivocally the law of the harvest year for many of you. And once again, I want to congratulate those of you on tonight's call who are paying the price and continue to pay that price, and you are absolutely learning the skills, habits, and mindset. Now, I have a brand new product that I am just releasing. If you're seeking to become a life coach, a health coach, or a business coach, and you are already a successful coach, either as a for-paid coach or you're coaching a team, I have a brand new product out, but you don't really know how to reach the next level in growing your coaching enterprise or taking some of your developing students or teammates to the next level. I have been a coach for 18-plus years. I'm just now starting my 19th year. I've coached over 50,000 hours, approaching 60,000, and have coached over 10,000 clients. And I've also been a coach, as I said, for 18-plus years, and have been very, very skilled at assisting people to understand cause and effect, why they do what they do, and assisting people how to let go. I'm offering a free training course that will assist you with creating a foundation to your coaching enterprise, how to generate leads, call them, how to ask questions in a sequence, and how to take any coaching practice or coaching business to the next level, TNL. So if you're in a direct sales network marketing company or you're doing your own coaching for free enterprise, this course will give you great insight into coaching your team, your database, or developing a culture that you can coach. You can go directly to jeffreycombscertifiedcoaching.com. That's Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-E-R-Y-C-O-M-B-S, certifiedcoaching.com to enroll in the free course. Now, you will receive many free bonus materials just by entering into that automated system. It will give you great insight, a series of free videos, so you'll have a better understanding of how to persuade, how to inspire, and how to take a team to the next level. I am the son of a Hall of Fame coach, Don Duck Combs, who won 357 victories in varsity basketball in the state of Iowa, 43 victories in the state of Missouri, which totaled a total of 400 victories as a varsity coach. I was fortunate enough to play on 72 of those victories in my four-year basketball career. So coaching is in my DNA, it's in my genes, it's who I am, what I do. And if you're seeking a coach, someone who can really assist you to TNL, take your game to the next level, consider connecting with me for a free 15-minute coaching session. I seldom do those. You can go directly to my Facebook page. This is for a first-time coaching client. If you've had a 15-minute coaching session before, then you already know what I do. But if you want to take advantage of my coaching, go directly to my homepage or my profile page on Facebook and let me know your phone number and the best time to get back with you. And with that, we are moving in to the Periscope portion of inspiration for tonight's call. It is my absolute privilege to be on here on Periscope and live on my telephone call here. Now, this call is being recorded, and it will be available for playback tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time, 9 Pacific. Tonight, I bring a topic that I've never covered on this call, one of the most misunderstood and misused words in the English language is the word commit. Now, many people substitute words of non-commitment, words of denial, words of avoidance in their communication and English language structure to avoid committing. If you find yourself commitment phobic, overwhelmed, unorganized, and undisciplined, then there's a high probability that committing is a challenge. Commitment is spelled C-O-M-M-I-T. Commitment is C-O-M-M-I-T-T-M-E-N-T. Committed is C-O-M-M-I-T-T-E-D. And if you're not committed, then you'll have challenges deciding. And you don't need to commit, you commit. Need to is a future tense word with no commitment. And if you're someone who has challenges committing, it will show up in your unconscious communication skills. Your brain has three different levels of consciousness. You have a subconscious, unconscious, and conscious. Now, where you are tonight, you're listening consciously. That is your awareness. And if you're a highly tuned, skilled listener, you're going to be able to hear what I mean, not only what I say. But if you find yourself checking out, overwhelmed, unorganized, undisciplined, you process, analyze, get ready to get ready, then avoidance is probably a component of your communication style. It's probably a part of your emotional being, and you'll spend a lot of your time overwhelmed, undisciplined, unorganized, and unfortunately disappointed. Now, if you're in free enterprise, you own a business from the comfort of your home, you're a real estate investor, you're a mortgage professional, you're an internet marketer, you're a direct sales or network marketer, or you do intellectual property, it's very important that you understand you must be disciplined, i.e. a disciple of success. You must have clearly defined short-term goals that allow you to not only goal set, but goal commit to. Goal commit, creating results. And if you're not results-oriented or you're not productive, then you're probably a starter and not a finisher. A large percent of society starts projects, has shiny object syndrome and is on to another project before they finish the first. And if that is you, tonight is the night that I'm going to give you a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. If you're someone who's an addicted over-obligator, there's a high probability that those are codependent tendencies that were taken on as a child. You were put in a position, you had to be a grown-up before your time. You grew up in a dysfunctional home. You grew up in a home that you had to take a role on. You may have been the oldest child, the middle child, taking care of the younger children. You may have had to take on a role with an addicted parent where you had to step to the plate and become a grown-up before your time. You may have had to turn your paper boy, paper girl, your lawnmower, your babysitting money over to your family because of the financial situation those were in. Those create a neurological network, a conditioning that becomes a behavior in your brain chemistry, and if that is what you do, then that can easily become your identity. If you had to take on many, many roles, there's a high probability that you are an over-obligator. If the emotion of guilt and or shame has an effect on your emotional state, there's a high probability that you will say yes, yes, yes to many situations that you do. And so that is right, Sherry Homayoun, who's giving me the spot-on baby. That is correct. A large percent of society are addicted over obligators. Now, what does that mean? It means we tend to take on too many roles, we take on too many projects, we have shiny object syndrome, and we start and we don't finish. And if you're an addicted starter and not a committed finisher, then check in and not check out into this content tonight and learn how to commit. The way to commit is by affirming. I am committed. I have the ability to commit. Now that I'm grown up, I can commit. Spell commit out. Start to insert commit in your English language structure. Now, after tonight's call, if you're willing to commit, in the next couple of days, send me a Facebook message. Let me know that you're committed. I am committed, someone just stated. That is Carol. So, Carol, career freedom. So to commit is to state. You can't commit until the word is in your English language. You don't need to commit. You can't hope to commit. You don't need to do this. Need is a future tense word with no commitment. Want is another future tense word with no commitment. The more committed you are, the higher the probability that you'll attract other like-minded, committed professionals who are in your law of alignment and who are going where you are going. If you have a leveraged enterprise, a business from the comfort of your home, you only require a few success seekers that come together that can form a mastermind. A mastermind is more of one of like mind coming together for a common cause. And when you start to attract common cause seekers to your commitment, to your committed structure, then you'll start to attract a whole different type of person to your reality. Not only that, when you become committed, a whole different space opens up to you. The parking space in front of the restaurant is now available to you because you wander around the parking lot looking for that space, lost in the sauce, rather than being able to see the clear path which is right there. The shortest distance between two points is always a straight line. When you understand that, you are now committed in the energy of commitment. Thank you very much, whoever stated that. That was a very good affirmation. Someone just stated, I am now in the energy of commitment. That is, you should state that on your Facebook page since you wrote that. I want you to make sure that whoever wrote that, you get credit for that. That was an exceptional affirmation. Now, I'm going to cover the bullet points on tonight's call that I wrote out before the call. Just a little note for you. If you're on Periscope, this is what my assistant Alon Amir sends out every Monday in the morning. Monday morning, he sends this out because on Sunday night, I write this out. I am committed every Sunday night. This is a handwritten white piece of paper written with a blue Sharpie. Right there is my blue Sharpie. And every Sunday night for Tuesday night's call, I handwrite this out. I'm committed to writing out 12 to 14 points every single Tuesday night for my Tuesday night call. I write them in simple like this. It's just simple. It's not typed out, and that is what I'm covering for tonight's call. Many people ask me, I don't write the call out. It is structured, but this is how I do it. So here's point number one. Why is committing a challenge? Because a lot of times when you grow up in a non-committed household. People aren't able to commit to you. You have commitment challenges. Commitment is not taught. as a child, commitment does not become your identity. And if you're someone who's become an under-earner, underachiever, then commitment was not part of your identity. To be committed is someone you have to be an achiever, a producer, someone who's a finisher. But if you grew up with parents who did not put a high price tag on that, or you grew up with relatives who put a lot of pressure on you to commit, then there's a high probability that you also may have commitment phobia. You may not commit to rebel. Now, my own self, I grew up with parents who were highly successful. They were not commitment phobic. They were doers. My parents were absolute doers. They were real estate investors. They had multiple part-time businesses. They were white-collar professionals. They were committed. They were so committed that sometimes I got lost in their commitment. I was also committed. I put myself through college in a short period of time, 4.5 years, paid for my own college. But by the time I was out of college, I had commitment phobia. I did not want to get a job. I did not want to start a career. And I spent several years trying to figure out who I was and what I wanted to do. I used alcohol and drugs to medicate myself emotionally because I couldn't commit. I was a starter but not a finisher. Because I had a lot of talent, I was able to create money out of my brilliance. But I would get so overwhelmed in my brilliant ideas, my shiny object syndromes, that I spent most of my 20s on drugs and alcohol, never realizing or reaching my potential. At 31 years young, 17 days and 11 months, I got clean and sober and really began my first 90-day process of recovery. I was able to put the back together, 90 days of recovery, and that began my new process of commitment. And I went through several business ventures that I was not successful in, and after 6 years of being full-time in network marketing and direct sales, even though I was committed, learning the skills, habits, and mindset, I found myself several thousands of dollars upside down in liability debt, $99,000 to be exact. Now, I was committed, but I wasn't finishing. That was a key component. I was committed to my success, but I found myself bouncing around far too much. I eventually found my niche in 1995 and put back-to-back 3 really good years that really launched my career. So 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and 24 months. It was actually a 28-month period back-to-back of committed energy one day at a time, and I was able to overcome the $99,000 of credit card debt and became the number one income earner in a company, and I was able to commit. Now, how do I commit if I have commitment phobic issues? Well, you commit the same way you address any addiction one day at a time. Now, let's take a look at where you're probably the most undercommitted. You're probably unorganized. And for those of you who have not followed Susan Sly, her courses are phenomenal. She has Organize Your Life and a new book called Organize Your Life. You'll have the opportunity to purchase that book from Susan November 7th. She'll be speaking in the afternoon right before Mark Victor Hansen at the Millionaire Blueprint event on November 7th. Alexis Romano is also a woman who's extremely committed. She's extremely committed and is so committed that she's able to run more than one business at a time. And for you to be able to do that, that's a skill. Being committed is a skill. Being overwhelmed is also an addiction. And if you find yourself overwhelmed, over-obligated, an addicted enabler with codependent tendencies, you'll have challenges ever succeeding. You have to learn to do these two words, let go. You have to let go of the anxiety that keeps you doing the same thing over and over, creating the same result. That's the definition of insanity, obviously. But if you have commitment phobic issues, it's going to show up in your relationships, it's going to show up in your systems, and it's going to show up in your business ventures. I am committed one day at a time. So the deep breath, yes, James. James said deep breath. And you take a long, deep breath, and you learn to let go. You let go, and you release of your anxieties that keep you overwhelmed. Take a look tonight at how you overcommit yourself. On paper tonight, do your best to sit down, and in 5 minutes or less, list how you tend to over-obligate yourself, how you tend to overwhelm yourself, and commit tonight in the next 24 hours to letting go of some of the situations that do not serve you. You have to learn to let go of situations without anxiety of, I might need this. Oh, my God, I'm not sure if I can do this. But to be able to commit is decide. To decide means you have clearly defined goals in your wheelhouse. It means that you know you have a why. You can't commit unless you have a reason bigger than your problem. If you don't have clearly defined goals and you try and wing it, then you're not really committed. That means you're interested. If you're interested, you can't commit. And to be able to commit, it has to be emotional. It has to be clear. It has to be defined. You have to be passionate about it. But if you have repressed your anger and you brood and pout and you live in resentment and you're not separated from the events that shaped your feelings, then you have no passion. It's going to be very challenging for you to commit when you have no passion. When you have no sexual energy and you're not able to transmute your sexual energy into results, then you're going to continue to do the same thing over and over and get the same result, disappointment. Now, when you really reach the place of no return, when you've burned the ships in the harbor and the only way off the island is to succeed, then you have no options. Rock bottom is a very overrated place to be. You don't have to be at rock bottom to commit. You can commit tonight. Commitment is simple. Keep your commitments very simple, very systematic, very methodical. Don't overwhelm yourself. And it's much better to have clearly defined short-term, smaller goals than big goals you cannot attain. Big goals you don't attain lead to disappointment. Your commitment is going to show up in your language style. Your non-commitment also shows up in your language style. If you use disempowers language, if you have self-talk that's not conducive to have self-esteem, if you're uncertain, unsure, then you'll live in doubt. Your language style based in doubt will show up because you'll tend to avoid. If you're a chronic avoider and a chronic over-obligator, then you'll have challenges committing. One of the easiest ways to commit if you're in a network marketing business is take a look at the next rank right in front of you. Be able to commit to that rank in 90 days or less. There's an E1 of you in tonight's call that shouldn't be able to make some progress in your commitment to that. To be able to commit, you have to have dedicated blocks of time. Or if you're really skilled, now one of the most skilled women I've ever coached is a woman named Dawn Ferrantino. I had the privilege of sharing the stage with Dawn this weekend in Chicago, Illinois, and she absolutely was fantastic in the content she delivered. Dawn and I are going to be doing an event in February of next year in New Jersey, and she's a woman who in borrowed time. Now, she wasn't able to commit to time, but Dawn was able to borrow time. That's when you leverage time. And to be able to leverage time, you have to borrow time from time that is not valuable to you. So Dawn was able to take 15-minute increments between her work, her lunch, on the way home, on the way to work. She'd pull over. She would do whatever was required to create the commitments and create the way to overcome the situation she was in so that she could eventually leave a career that no longer served her. Now, Dawn was very loyal to her fellow employees. She had a management position, and she had a clearly defined date that she was comfortable in leaving her job. She did it. She was able to do that in April of 2014, and she did that by in a 12-month period, she was able to create a six-figure income part-time while having a part-time job, a full-time job, two children that were accomplished baseball players, and running a household. Now, that takes a commitment. You could do that, but to be able to do that, you'd have to be structured, organized, simple, and have a system to live in your house, and a system to have a business in that was relaxed and easy to duplicate. But if what you do is complicated, you will have challenges committing. If you overcomplicate simplicity, you can't duplicate duplication. Duplication is required because you have to be able to have other like-minded success seekers be able to follow your lead. But you will not be able to attract followers when you're complicated. Leadership is persuasion. Leadership is influence. Who are you influencing? If you have a leveraged business, that business is going to come down to this attraction. And if you're not committed, how can you attract the LOF, the law of the few who are committed? In any leveraged business, you require one or two like-minded individuals in a 90-day period, a six-month period, three quarters of a year, or one calendar year to not only show up but to produce. To be able to commit is to produce. To produce is production. Production creates results. Results is profit. When the law of alignment starts to come together, that's when the compounded effect shows up. That will not show up until you're committed. Now, what's beautiful about commitment, you can be non-committed yesterday and be committed today. Ask any addict who has sobriety, and that addict will tell you that they wrestled with their addiction for years, and then one day, mythically, magically, they were able to decide and commit. Now, the most common way that people commit is actually the most difficult way. That's this: when the pain is great enough. You do not want to wait till the pain is great enough to commit. You want to be able to commit now. And if you're dissatisfied, if you're disappointed with where you are, you want to be able to be objective about that. I wrote a post on this today on Facebook. Instead of being critical, be objective. The more objective you are, it means you're honest. Rigorous honesty will allow you to evaluate the situation where you are, let go of the anxiety that keeps you doing the same thing over and over again, and create simple, subtle change. Simple, subtle change. Create a simple system that's easy to duplicate. Start to create discipline. Make your bed in the morning. As profound as that sounds, that's the way you start the day. Be proud and dignified of the way you made your bed. Look at it and be proud of the way you made that bed. That starts your day off. Have a very simple day that you commit to exercise in. I like to commit to exercise first thing in the morning. Have a very simple, relaxed routine to exercise in. If you own a business, you have children, you have obligations, you have a husband or a wife, you have animals that you take care of, you have other passions and other obligations, well, you're not going to be able to go to the gym 2 or 3 hours a day. Something has to give. That doesn't mean you give up exercise, but create a very simple exercise routine that you can duplicate. Commit to it. I commit to half an hour a day of exercise. My exercise starts at 4:20 in the morning. I exercise from 4:20 to 4:45. I have a very simple routine on a spin bike. I do setups and push-ups. I do the same exercise every single day that I am home. I adjust that exercise routine to an equally simple exercise routine when I travel. So when you do that, someone says, "Hi, Jeff." "Hi, thank you very much. Welcome to the call this evening and welcome to Periscope." When you're able to do that, then you're able to commit. So if you commit one day at a time for one day, 7 days, 21 days, 1 month, six weeks, whatever it is, you have to be able to do it back to back. Now, commitment also breaks down into this word. I'll show you right here. It's on my paper, and that word is spelled responsibility, the ability to respond. That's what responsibility is. Responding is a reflex. When you react, that's a different kind of reflex. When you are responsible, when you have the ability to respond, you're leaning into a commitment. When you react, you're backing up from a commitment. When you check out, when your eye iris goes up and out and comes out of your mouth, when you do that, you are unequivocally checking out. It's going to require 3 to 8 seconds for you to articulate your feelings into words, for you to be able to make that comeback from your left brain back into your right brain, where you can now commit. So if commitment is a challenge, it's going to show up in your relationships. I'll never forget, I met a woman who was a very interesting intuitive, and she told me I had commitment issues. Now, that pissed me off, I must admit, because I thought I was really committed. I wasn't. I was commitment phobic, specifically in relationships, because of my own abandonment and rejection issues. I didn't even know what that was in 1995 when this woman gave me an intuitive reading, and she suggested a book to me, He's Scared, She's Scared. That was another one of those books that was a life-changing book, because I had no idea what abandonment issues were. I didn't know what rejection issues were. I just thought I was angry most of the time. She also pointed out how angry I was, and it made me angry that she pointed out how angry I was. But she was very correct, because I was grinding my teeth, had a migraine headache 7 days a week, because I felt behind my own eight ball. I had spent 14 years of my life as an addict, and I wanted to make up for lost time. I wasn't patient. I was overwhelmed, and I was trying to make up, and I was pressuring and forcing myself. And so my law of attraction was not conducive to attracting the like-minded success seekers that I required to create in a compounded business. So I would attract people who were not committed and then I would do too much for them. I'd set them up to disappoint me by doing too much for them, and they would fail, and then I would be disappointed. And I would attract people who are not committed. I would scratch my head and go, wow, I don't understand. After all I did for these people, I did closed all their sales, managed their business, showed them how to use the product, did all the trainings, did all the details, did the masterminds for them, rented the hotels, and wow, that's what happened. I reached a law of the lid. So for about 6 years of my network marketing and direct sales career, I could never seem to break the emotional and then financial law of the lid. I would get stuck somewhere between about $3,000 and $15,000 a month, and I peaked out at $18,997 with a bonus check once. That was the law of my lid. And then I hit rock bottom. I chose a company that their e-commerce account got shut down. The company asked me and nine other distributors to invest $50,000 to be equity owners, which I did. Their second e-commerce company got shut down, and not only that, I was out $50,000, and two $14,000 checks of mine for back-to-back months were not paid to me because the company had no funds, the NFL club, the no funds left. And I was so spent, so exhausting, so overwhelmed, that I took 6 months off and read Robert Ludlum books, exercised, and I couldn't commit. I was commitment phobic. I'd been through too much, too fast, too soon, got overwhelmed, had shiny object syndrome, chose back-to-back bad companies, ended up $100,000 in credit card debt. I was 37 years old, approaching 38, in the NFL club in three different categories. No funds left, no friends left, and not for long. I reached that place in commitment where I had to commit. It was either, for me, do or die. Once again, I'm not suggesting that you put yourself in this situation, and here's what happened. I mean, I had to commit. It was either get two jobs, a sales job and wait tables, or succeed. I was virtually at the place where I had no ships in the harbor. And fortunately, I attracted a good opportunity at a USA Today in 1996. I hit a home run in that business in the next 28 months, but I adapted and adjusted. I took a good look at where I was in life, and I eliminated and refined my exercise structure. I was a committed skier, and I was going to Kirkwood in Lake Tahoe, and I had a pass at Kirkwood that I had several years in a row on my credit cards, I must say. It was not from profit, it was from my non-profit organization with the discomfort of my apartment. I did not own a home then. I was living right on the edge of the hood by a 7-Eleven where there was a heroin dealer and a prostitute right outside my little gated community that I was paying $400 a month for my apartment with a pocket door. That was one of those apartments where you open the door and you're in the living room and the kitchen all in the same place. You've probably seen one of those before if you've ever been in the NFL club a time or 10 like I have. Responsibility, the ability to respond. The reflexes of responsibility are this. It means neurologically you began to speed up. Instead of being checked out, overwhelmed, you're in the game, you're in the flow, you're in your body, and it means that you're able to do this rat-tat-tat-tat-tat. It means you have this, a different reflex. You're able to move yourself and move others along through your own persuasion skills and or techniques. You start to master the speed of money. You start to master the speed of money through your communication style, the way you speak, the way you write. You become a lot more committed. When you're committed, you'll attract like-minded committers who have the ability to commit. When you're coming from that situation, then you are ITF in the flow. So there's a certain reflex that you have to master. You cannot master that reflex when you are like this, when you are checked out, you don't know what's going on, you're overwhelmed, oh my God, I don't know what to do, I don't know who to be. I wrote down my to-do list today, but I didn't write down my to-be list. When you talk like that, when you're overwhelmed, when your speech is way slowed down, when you're uncertain, when you're not really in the flow of life, you're overwhelmed, and you got the S-L-O-W-S. Well, you require some Ovaltine. Remember that? My old friend Ovaltine. Actually, that's when you require a shot of adrenaline, a shot of whatever shot you shoot, but you got to get your ass in gear, baby, because NFL means not for long. See, the end of the era is coming close here. November 1st is right around the corner. All of a sudden, it's going to be December 1st. Then it's going to be Christmas time, and the holidays. Yes, right. And that's when most of you go, oh, my God, the holidays. No one's going to buy from the – yes, they will. They will unequivocally buy in the holidays. I guarantee it. I've had many six-figure months in the holidays because your perception is your reality, and the way you perceive a situation will dictate your outcome. So you must be ITF in the flow. What you do daily, that's part of your commitment. If I followed you daily with a video camera, what would I find? If I followed you, if I spent a day in the life of your free enterprise business from the comfort of your home, what would I see you doing? And most importantly, who would I see you being? Would I see you're committed? Would I see you're responsible? Or would I see you're overwhelmed? Would I see you have shiny object syndrome and you're spending a great deal of your day being educated? Would I see you reading books, listening to podcast downloads? Would I see you on Twitter, Flitter? Would I see you doing these situations? Or would I see you actually prospecting, scheduling appointments, creating connections? Would I see you writing sales copy, building funnels, creating leads? Would I see you doing three-way calls with your teammates, mentoring people? Would I see you doing this? That's correct. Finish strong. That's what you'd have to be able to do. You have to finish strong. Tell yourself tonight, I am a committed finisher. Now that I'm grown up, I'm responsible. I have the ability to respond. I have the ability to be and stay responsible. I am a producer. I am highly productive in my free enterprise business from the comfort of my home. One of my favorite words that I used to use inflection was, it was two words actually, is my enterprise. And I would qualify people and I would silently say, not in my enterprise. Now, what that means is that I had an avatar. I was looking for a specific type of person to join my enterprise. When I became committed, I became very clear and I required a specific type of person to join my enterprise. It would be my enterprise and their enterprise and free enterprise, two like-minded individuals becoming committed finishers. Now, if you're a committed finisher and you move out of the law of probability and you move into definite, because when you are definite, you will not be denied. When you have a definite of purpose, you will not be denied. That's when when the facts don't matter, when you let go of the facts. I mean, the fact is you might be overwhelmed. The fact is you might be underfinanced. The fact is you might not be really talented, but your desire will unequivocally be the centrifugal force you require to overcome the challenges that you are in. I was just telling my loyal assistant, Mr. Ilan Amir, tonight that I have a plan A. I've never had a plan B. Are you freaking kidding me, dude? Plan A is what I live in. Plan A, not plan B, plan A. And I realize that my enterprise requires a little boost, and I'm going to freaking take that to the next level. So you feel me? You with me? I mean, when you start to come from that, this is the kind of self-talk you require with self. When you have conversation with self, you actually sometimes have to get pissed off at yourself. When you get angry at yourself from a place that empowers you, if you're angry at yourself when you're brooding and pouting, and you're, oh, I can't believe this happened to me. Oh, my God, no one's giving me the love. No one's giving me the money. No one's following me. But when you understand plan A is right now, right here, when you come from that place, then you will not be denied. You might be 97 yards from a touchdown, and the way you're going to get there is one play at a time. It has to be methodical, systematic, organized, detailed, and you must be responsible, committed, and productive. When that becomes your law of alignment, this is the centrifugal force. This is when you can move structure. This is when you start to move people to your reality. This is when money starts to show up. People start to show up. This is when the parking spaces are available. You miraculously get upgraded to first class. You walk into a restaurant that's absolutely full and the maitre d' recognizes you. I had dinner Sunday night in Stockton, California, one of my favorite restaurants, a restaurant called Market Tavern. And I was dining with Carolyn Olson, and I said to Carolyn, I go, wow, look over there. Right next to us was the richest man in California's daughter. The richest man in California is Alex Spanos. He lives here in Stockton, California, drives a Maybach, has a helicopter, is an incredible real estate investor. He owns the San Diego Chargers. His daughter was sitting in a booth next to me with her husband, Ron Babarian. Now, Ron Babarian owns Babarian Motors here in Stockton, California. It's a Mercedes dealership. I bought 3 Mercedes from him in the last 20 years. I leaned over and I said, excuse me, Mr. Rabarian, my name is Jeffrey Combs. How are you this evening? These are the same prospecting skills that I teach every one of my clients how to use. I introduced myself to him. He recognized me. He said, don't I know you? I introduced myself. I said, Mr. Rabarian, I bought 3 cars for you in the last 20 years. It's good to connect with you. Now, what I wanted from him is that I know he's building a new dealership. I wanted an invitation to the grand opening. I wanted his wife to open a couple of doors for Carolyn Olson about women's networks in Stockton, California. To GET, to get, to RECE, to receive, you must ask. But and that's a responsibility. That was a reflex. I didn't stop and think about it. I go, oh, my God, I might be interrupting his dinner. Oh, he's so wealthy, he probably wouldn't want to talk to me. He is one of the part owners of the San Diego Chargers. Who am I to interrupt his dinner? I didn't interrupt his dinner. I said, excuse me. I didn't get overwhelmed. Yes, that's right. Stockton, California, CDOR2. That is where I reside. Master Aster, James Pryor, that is exactly what I did. Mr. Barbarian was extremely receptive, ended up standing up, shaking my hand, spent quality time with me, invited me to his grand opening, gave me his phone, his card, and spent quality time. See, that's what would happen when you're committed. When you're committed to honing your craft, when you're committed to honing your skills, what most people don't do is they don't ever master the skills. The number one skill you master is your emotions. The second skill you begin to master is your communication style. If your communication style is not conducive to committing, then you're non-committing. If your communication style is not conducive to deciding, then you'll be indecisive. If you're indecisive, you'll be in doubt, you'll be overwhelmed, you'll be unorganized and undisciplined. Where do I start? Here, now. You start by committing. If you're overwhelmed and you live in absolute chaos, start in the most common denominator or corner of any room. Start to build out. Go backwards. Start to clean up backwards. Work toward the door and start in that one corner and start to create a path. Live in the law of least resistance. If you're in resistance, then you're in force. If you're in force, then you require counterforce to fulfill your feelings of being overwhelmed and disappointed. When you let go of your anxiety about success, anxiety about failing, and start to live in emotional power, emotional etheric energy, then you require no resistance. Power stands alone. Power has no resistance. When you learn how to neutralize other people emotionally, not giving them power, to their narcissism, to their passive-aggressive behavior, to their putting you down, to their lectures, then you're in power. Power versus force, that is correct. And when you're not attached to the outcome, then you don't get overwhelmed about what's not going to happen. When you're concerned with results and teaching other people how to create results, then you'll become results-oriented. But when you tiptoe quietly through life and live it, you're going to tiptoe quietly through life, wait for something mythically magic to show up. It probably won't show up if you're not N-I-N-A-C-T-I-O-N, action, because action is paramount. What you do daily will unequivocally make or break you, because if your daily discipline doesn't lead to an outcome that's conducive, then adapt and adjust. That is a reflex. You don't have to have a gigantic pendulum swing. You don't have to make this great big decision. It's simple decisions, one day at a time, back to back, that creates a compounded effect. When you start to start worrying and stop producing, that is correct. Stop worrying and start winning. Dreams are the emotion that's the centrifugal force that pull you forward. And you have to have a dream bigger than just freedom. I want freedom. I own a business so I can be free. Actually, owning a business does not give you freedom. Freedom is like any situation. You may have to spill a little blood, drop some sweat. You may have to get in the game. You may have to let something go. You might have to quit a job, let go of a relationship. You might have to let go of a property or situation that doesn't serve you, but you unequivocally have to pay the price of success. If you're not willing to pay the price of success, you will pay the pain of regret. And if you continue to do what you do, you will get what you get. If you look at your results for the year and they suck, do something about it tonight. Because what happened yesterday is H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. Tomorrow is M-Y-S-T-R-E-Y, a mystery. Where you are right here is now. Right here, right now. And if you have not been If you have not been a producer, then you start tonight by stating, I am a producer. I am productive. Finish this week strong. Finish the week Saturday night at midnight. That's about five nights. Do it. So in the next 5 days, what am I capable of? Set a clearly defined goal that you're capable of creating by midnight Saturday night so that you can start the week fresh. Now, Saturday night begins the end of an era. Sunday is November 1st. That's also daylight saving times, I believe, where the clock changes. You're going to borrow an extra hour. You see, you even get an extra hour. Do something with it. I am a producer. Many people are showing that. I'm a producer. I am productive. I am committed. But if you're commitment phobic, then you will avoid responsibility. If you're commitment phobic, you avoid commitment. Then you use words that foster avoidance and procrastination. But the opposite of procrastination is production. So when you're highly productive, then you're going to create the centrifugal force that creates results. If you're in a network marketing business or a direct sales business, one of the ways you can measure progress is by enrollments. One of the ways you can measure progress is by team enrollments. One of the ways you measure progress is rank advancements. One of the ways you measure progress is results through leads that come to you, through your lead funnel, scheduled appointments. This is how you start to become commitment conscious, and then instead of being commitment phobic, when you're commitment conscious, you're able to commit. But if you go, wow, I'm not sure, I don't know, yeah, uh-huh, okay, and maybe, well, that ain't going to get it done, my cousin, because you have to be able to commit. Commit is commitment. The world is not black and white. The world has many shades of gray, but the way commitment is spelled has no gray in it. Commitment is commitment. There's no way you cut commitment. Commitment is commitment, because if you can't commit, you're not committing. If you can't decide, you're indecisive. If you decide, you can decide. When you can decide, you can commit. You can't commit to win without committing to win. You can't try. You don't need to. You can't think about it, and you hope it works out. You have to commit to it. You also have to be realistic about your commitments. Now, you might commit to the lottery. Well, if you're going to do that, you'd have to play a lot. You could actually win the lottery if you figured it out. Now, there is gray in the world, I will say this, but there are certain places where there's not room for gray, and when you commit, you have to be able to commit. You may not know what you're committing to, but you commit to the outcome. When you commit to the outcome and don't focus on the details, you can figure the details out while you're committed. But if you have to figure the details out before you commit, then you never commit. Unfortunately, that was a good monologue, by the way. Unfortunately, that was what most people do. Now let's move into this right here. This is point number 10 on my blue written out Sharpie commitment sheet. Number 10 is, that is no more cheat days. That means fully committed. What does that mean? It means you play all out. It means that one day at a time, you do your best. You're not. Focus is not to be the best. It's to be your best. Your best is good enough. When you're good, good is good enough. If you want to be great, then you have to be good before you're ever great. You're not going to leapfrog from good to great unless you have TIG, time in the game. And so when you're all in, then you're all in, baby. That's what Lily said. Lily is down there in Melbourne, Australia. Hi, Lily. Thank you for all your comments tonight. So I appreciate your commitment to be here all the way from Australia. When there's no more cheat days, what does that mean? It means what it means. It means that you don't relapse. When you don't relapse, it means you're committed. But if you relapse, it means you relapse back into a thought, relapse back into a feeling. And then if you relapse, you typically relapse back into addiction. But if you're committed to recovery, then there is no cheat day. What does that mean? It means that you don't stuff wrappers in your drawers. You don't sneak situations in. You're not a pathological liar. You don't spend a lot of time in your head trying to control the control that keeps you out of control. You're not overwhelmed emotionally. You don't cheat yourself out of your most valuable commodity, T-I-M-E. You know there's 86,400 seconds in every single day, 1,440 minutes. And it means that you're in, baby. You're I-N. It means there's two times. There's relaxed time and produced time. And you don't cheat yourself out of your relaxed time. If you're not producing in your production time, then you're going to feel guilty in your relaxation time. So you've cheated yourself out of relaxing. But if you're able to commit, then you're able to commit in your production time. So when it's relaxed time, you can relax. You have to be able to turn it off. But if you're one of these people, I can't turn it off. I can't turn my brain off. I can't turn my head off. I can't go to sleep at night. Good. Then rest, R-E-S-T. You have to let go of the control that keeps you out of control of being in control, the control that's controlling you. When you understand that, then you're committed. This is a good call for you tonight. Anyone have any quick questions for me? If you have a quick question, I'll answer it here on Periscope tonight, the year of our Lord, 2015. It is October 27th, you know, coming up right around the corner. On October, Halloween's coming up, you know that? So who are you going to be in Halloween? But on Halloween, a very special day, on Halloween Eve, 2011, that date, I was in Fort Lee, New Jersey. It was a very interesting day. Pete Tamillo is in the front row. If Pete's on the call, Pete, you're a first-class human being. Pete Tamillo, who is my client then from Philadelphia, Pete is a millionaire business owner, and Pete brought 10 people to that event. On the other side of the room was a woman named Alexis Romano, and she brought 7 or 8 people to the event, and at that event were two exceptional women, Tara Romano and C.G. Siddons. On that day, the year of our Lord, 2011, October 31st, Tara Romano and C.G. Siddons hired me to be their coach. That was October 31st, 2011. That's almost 4 years ago. Not today, that will be this Saturday, but 4 years ago, and this Saturday it will be that day, the anniversary of that date. And there was ginormous snowflakes, that's a good word, ginormous. They were big, huge, large, stupendous. It was snowing that day, the kind that in the East Coast, when it hits your windshield, it's plop. Now, what was very interesting is I was committed to getting out of town that next morning. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I was even considering taking a train to Philadelphia. I was going to go where there wasn't a snowstorm, but I took a limousine from the Fort Lee to DoubleTree. I was flying out of JFK, and by the time I got to JFK, there was no snow. It was really interesting because I was committed to going home. That was the very day that Tara and CG hired me to be their coach. So that is an anniversary. That is a commitment. So that I want to share with you. And I want to thank you tonight for being on tonight's call. So I'm going to take a few questions. How can we find the free training for learning to coach? Okay, so I'll cover that real quickly. Now, I don't typically have a lot of papers on my desk. I am very organized, detailed. And see this right here we go. So you want to take a look at my desk. This is the GMS desk. This is how I operate. That is a Pellegrino. I like Pellegrino. It's a green bottle. It reminds me of Heineken. Heineken used to be my BOC, my beer of choice back in the day. So this is the GMS office. That over there is the Wall of Fame. I'll give you an indication of some of the people that are on my Wall of Fame. I live in a very, very relaxed, feng shui type of environment. So to answer your original question, you will go for the free videos tonight. You can go to Jeffrey Combs Certified Coaching. That is Jeffrey Combs Certified Coaching. Jeffrey is unique, J-E-F-F-E-R-Y. Jeffrey Combs Certified Coaching .com. Jeffrey Combs Certified Coaching .com. That is Alon. There's Alon. Alon is right over there. He's got the 2-day growth going. So he's B-E-I-N-G-B-A-D. He brought his bad look into my house of pleasure today. That is Mr. Ilan Amir. He is the producer. People are going, hey, Ilan. Hey, my homie, my Boston homie. How do you not take ownership of other people's problems? Why do I want to own someone else's problems? I mean, I'm a solution solver, so I assist people to understand the cause that creates their problem. I give them suggestions, and then the rest is up to them. So Vicki Cook says, hi, Alon. Hi, Vicki. So anyone else have a quick question for me before we wrap it up here tonight? My brother from another mother, hi, Jeffrey and Alon. You will be my coach in December. Is that a commitment? That is correct. Put the date on it. If you're saying I'll be your coach in December, thank you very much. Date the date for yourself. Now, once it's a real date, then it's a real date. Another situation you can do is you could actually call me up and you could say, Jeff, I want to go ahead and fill out my coaching form. Would you go ahead and write it up for me, date it, and I'll call you on set date. Now, that means you can't back out. Willie Watson, December 1st. That's Willie Watson, my brother. I've known Willie for a long time. How do you set in the AIC with focus and no fear from rejection? Turn that light. That is the GMS AIC chair. See that chair right there? That's the AIC chair. That is blue cobalt leather. My ass is in that chair very frequently. As a matter of fact, the leather is practically worn out. That baby will never be replaced because that is a chair of distinction. I have created about $20 million sitting in that chair, so dim the lights a little bit there, Alon. Those are the overheads. How do I sit in a chair? I sit in a chair because I'm focused. I mean, you get paid for sitting in a chair. And I like to also put my feet up on the desk. My desk is a 1935 Art Deco gem. It's a desk not to die for. Nothing is worth dying for. It's to live for. When I was financially challenged, B-R-O-K-E, the NFL club, $100,000 in credit card debt, I went to a beautiful Art Deco store in San Francisco, California, down on Market Street. It was called Thanks for the Memories, TFM, Thanks for the Memories. And a woman named Pam Groot was the owner, proprietor of that store. I was in the NFL club, and I went in there and window shopped. And I was a B-BAC, B-E-B-A-C-K. A B-BAC is someone who goes, I'll be back. I'm not buying anything, but I'll be back. And I was back. About a year later, I was back. And the very desk I was sitting there, I'm now sitting at it. So I have a very comfortable environment that I sit at my desk and I produce results from a large percent of my day. How can I sit here? I get paid for it. That's how I get paid for producing. So that's a little insight there for you on what happened. See, this is another story. That's a Rolex. That is a 1961 Rolex. I bought that Rolex when I was financially challenged in 1992. I went into one of my favorite, what are those called? Favorite pawn shop. There's a place here called Annette's. There's a fabulous pawn shop here called Annette's, and I wanted to live large once. I dreamed of owning a Rolex. It was one of my dreams. I wanted a classic. I went and put $300 down on my Rolex, and then my company changed its pay plan, and I never paid off that Rolex, and I actually forgot about that Rolex. And that was in 1992. Then in 1996, I had a windfall. I had a breakthrough year. I had a multiple six-figure year. And it dawned on me that I put that $300 down on that Rolex, and I never had the money to go back and pay it off. I went back there in December of 1996, and that Rolex was still on layaway for $300. I paid the other $1,500, topped it off, and now it's on my wrist. That is a 65-year-old Rolex, 1961, or however, 64-year-old Rolex. So, I mean, if it's meant to be, it's up to you. So right there, so I mean, that's a great story. Facts tell, stories sell. So I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to share with you. For each and every one of tonight's call, I want to thank you to let you know how much I appreciate you. I will be back on this call on Periscope and recorded live next Tuesday night. We'll be in November, and then on November 17th, November 7th, my apologies, November 7th will be the Millionaire Blueprint event in beautiful Newark, New Jersey, Alexis Romano, Susan Sly, and the one and only Mark Victor Hansen. Thank you very much, everyone. You have a great evening, and I look forward to connecting with you. Good night and goodbye.